Good morning. You can turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2, and we're going to look at a verse there in a minute. Welcome to the church in the gym. If this is the first time you are here, you very understandably may be thinking, what are they doing in the gym? There are reasons. We've been meeting here 6.5 years at Clifton High School. And every summer we've had to leave. Well, a couple of summers we didn't. And I don't know, it's etched in my memory. Sam Powell with sweat dripping off him. It's etched in his memory too. So we've had to go in the summer to different locations. And we will also, July and August, be splitting up into two groups, one at NJIT and one at Skylands. But they are in the process of air conditioning the auditorium. Amen. It's going to take them all summer. But Allah, that's why we're here. And we got some chairs. Somebody asked me if you could bring those bag chairs, you know. Yeah, do what you got to do. We got some room on the sides. Sometimes when we get booted out of here, we go to a Christopher Columbus Middle School. It's very challenging there at a lot of levels. Children's ministry is very challenging. The configuration, the classrooms, parking is challenging. It is not handicapped accessible. That is challenging. Joyce Allison's been raising holy hands for a long time. Sometimes she gets up out of that chair too. She's so moved by the singing and the spirit. And she said to me last week, you know, when we go to the middle school, I can't come. So there's just a lot of reasons to be here, so bear with us. And we're trying to maybe have a little briefer service. Now that I've said that, I'm on record. So we'll see here. But we are glad you're here, and we look forward. We'll be here for till June, end of June. So amen. Now we know the configuration. You see where you are. You know, once we go we always sit in the same places. So now you got your place. And if you don't like it, come prepared next week. Get here earlier to get one of these good, premium, more comfortable seats on the front. Or bring a bag chair or one of those little open-up chairs that you got a back on it. I'm standing up here, but next week I'll be out there and I got to have a back. So anyway, here we are. All right. We're talking about God's vision for the world today. There are many challenging, often disturbing, sometimes hopeful things that go on in our world. Jesus said we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We are in the world, though. What is God's vision for our world? I love this passage as Paul talks to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. And it's interesting because he talked about praying and he's going to talk in a minute about lifting up holy hands. Amen. But he says, verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and become to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. What's God's vision for our world? He wants everybody to be what? Saved. God wants everybody to be saved. It has always been God's plan to draw all nations to himself. When you look at the Old Testament, you see he particularly picked a man, Abraham, and through his offspring, the world would be blessed, and he protected the Jewish nation, and he disciplined them, but he kept them so that through them the Messiah would come. But it was not his plan that they would be his only people. Let me read some verses to you. Just listen to these. In fact, when God chose Abraham, he said, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. That's Genesis 18:18. Isaiah was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. Came in a challenging time, had a challenging role. He held out the promise of a Messiah. But Isaiah said, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. That's Isaiah 2:2. Toward the end of his prophecy, Isaiah 56:6. Foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my offering, and my house will be called a house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. As Isaiah concluded his prophecy, Isaiah 66:18, and I, God speaking, because of their actions and imaginations, am about to come and gather all nations and tongues, and they will come and see my glory. We today see the glory of God as all nations come together to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. I appreciated the thing that Justin Renton said, who now is he didn't say it here, but he's the lead evangelist for the Johannesburg Church of Christ, that when he first came to church more than 30 years ago in South Africa in the midst of apartheid, he saw all nations come together. Belinda's shaking her head because she became a Christian in the Johannesburg Church, a church of all nations in a place that was one of the least likely places to be that way at the time. You know, Jeremiah came along and he said, at that time they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations will gather in Jerusalem to honor the name of the Lord. We see that fulfilled in Acts 2 when the Spirit comes on Peter and he prophesies, or he quotes from the prophet Joel, who says, all peoples are going to come in Jerusalem and hear this message. God's plan for all nations, all people, to know him, to be saved. Well, how does that happen? It happens, first of all, because of the cross. That's what Paul says here. God wants all men to be saved, and he has given his Son as a ransom for all men. He's bought us back. Everyone who will accept that. And then our responsibility is to tell the nations. If you've been a Christian very long, you can quote Matthew 28. Go into where? All the world. And teach all nations. Go baptizing and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All nations. We've got a responsibility to help all nations. That's what our special contribution is all about. And God's vision for the world and our responsibility and privilege to share in that. If you're a guest, what special contribution? Every year, usually the second Sunday of June, we as a collective church, and we here at the Garden State Church in New Jersey, take a special offering, a special contribution, primarily to help with our mission work around the world, and particularly in some specific places. Some of you have gone on mission teams. We have some sharing about that. Some of you became Christians in a foreign place, where foreign to those of us who live in the United States, where somebody sent somebody to establish a church. Most of us can't go or won't be able to go or never have the opportunity to go, but we can send. I'm just amazed always and so inspired, even when I look around this room. This is a room of all nations, isn't it? I mean, literally, in terms of many of you who, you know, were born in some place outside the borders of the United States, but even just culturally and racially and socioeconomically, we are the embodiment, the fulfillment of God's desire to see all nations belong to Him. And it is amazing. It is inspiring. It is precious. It is beautiful. We want to continue that. We'll be having our special contribution on June 10th, the second Sunday in June, which is just a couple of months off. I do want to stop and say an incredible, incredible, incredible thank you to the Garden State Church. Well, I'm glad somebody said amen, but you don't even know why yet. Amen. Let me get my paper. You know, we spent the first of our midweek rotation this year with some pretty serious and I think kind of heavy topics, talking about God and money. And we spent 3 weeks with every midweek group talking about God and money, talking about greed, talking about where we are as a group here. If you have your newsletter, you know, we put this in here every week so that you can know where we are and what we do. Down in the bottom of the front page in the middle where it says the record, and we put how many of us were there and what we gave, you can see where it says our weekly go. Now, I explained to everybody, except the one women's midweek group that got snowed out twice, that this goal really doesn't even pay our way. But this goal of $23,666, that sounds like a number from Revelation, but it just kind of worked out that way. We frankly weren't really meeting that goal consistently. Look where it says our April average, almost $29,000. $6,000 more than the goal. That's your hearts to give. Please keep doing it. We've got a lot of things we need to do, and we're going to talk about that. I appreciate, because we had those lessons, and we've really not talked about it since. We've not stood up here and said, okay, guys, you got spanked a little bit, let's give. I hope it wasn't a spanking. Hope it was an encouragement. You can amen if you want. Amen. But thank you. This group always, always responds to whatever challenge there is, and I appreciate it. You may have seen, if you looked at the email you got a while ago, we are trying to help 58 places around the world, mostly Africa and the Caribbean. That's really exciting. We're going to be talking more about those 58 places. And here's the thing. You know, I think sometimes I know I forget to appreciate enough what I have. Back in March, you know, when we had all those storms, we lost power for about 3 days. I know some of you lost power for much longer than that. We've frankly been very spoiled because through Hurricane Irene and Sandy and all that, we never lost power. Sandy, we did for about an hour, and then it's back on. Awesome. Well, you know, you realize what you can't do when you don't have any electricity. The first night was not too bad because the house was still sort of warm. The second night was cold. Now, our two daughters live about 1 5 minutes one way and 1 5 minutes the other way. They both had power. Their families were like, come on over. We're like, oh, we're all right. We're just prideful. We're all right. It's going to come back on. It was getting so cold. I mean, we're in the bed covered up with all these blankets, but your face had to stick out so you can breathe. And I'm telling you, I woke up in the night. The house behind us is not very far away from our house. I woke up in the night, it was so cold, and I could hear the people behind us, I could hear their generator running. And I could see the lights on over there. They're probably warm. Okay. You know, because we have a gas water heater, Mary Lee said, well, I can at least wash my hair. I said, okay, how are you going to dry it? Oh, I don't have that problem. The next week, we went to a leadership meeting, and there were two couples there that we're friends with from Lagos, Nigeria. Now, even in the very well-off places there, the power goes off pretty regularly. So you'd very regularly. You you have a generator. And I said to them, I'm telling this, I said, I know this is a first world problem. I'm sorry. But I do live in the first world. And I miss my electricity. We take stuff for granted. Maybe we take for granted what we have here. You know, not just the forgiveness that we have, but the opportunity not just to know God, but to be a part of a wonderful fellowship, the Christian friends we have, so many things we have. You know, so many of our congregations that we're trying to help are 10 people, 20 people, maybe 30 people. Amen from them. But just look at us. We have so much. We want to help. We want to make a difference. And here's what we're going to do. Next week's Mother's Day. Amen. Sam Lee, who is our full-time intern working with our youth and families, is going to speak for us on Mother's Day. Amen. Then we have three more Sundays before our special contribution. The first of those Sundays, we're going to talk about the Caribbean and what's going on in the Caribbean. We are the most significant contributors to the mission work in the Caribbean. The next week, we're going to talk about French-speaking West Africa. We are the most significant contributors to the work in French-speaking West Africa. And then the third week, we're going to talk about what's going on locally in upstate New York and our internship program that's raising up leaders to plant churches and to build campus ministries and all those things. Because we want you not just to know the need, but to be encouraged by what God is doing, as well as to see how we can help. What we're asking for this year, the elders and Sam Powell, our lead evangelist, we're asking that we, kind of a different goal, that we aim for giving 10 times whatever our weekly offering is, unless that is below the 365 a member or the 730 a couple of family that we used to do. And you know, for the college kids and teens, I know you don't have any money. Just pray, do the best you can. You are part of this. But that we really aim for this. And in a couple of weeks, on the 20th, we'll do our anonymous commitments like we always do, for just to kind of see where we are. But God's given us so much. And we have a responsibility to get the gospel around the world. And not just responsibility, a privilege. The New York City Church was very instrumental in the planting of the church in South Africa, where now Justin and a lot of great things are happening. We don't literally support that part of Africa anymore. They're self-supporting. They've grown up and they're helping other people. But we, I'm going to say again, we are the key people for French-speaking West Africa. In fact, the only people, pretty much. And the same thing for a significant part of the Caribbean. So we want to encourage you, inspire you. Turn with me as we get ready to take communion to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And I'm not going to really go through this, but here's what I want to give you an assignment. Before you or you and your spouse decide what you're going to do this year. 10 times, maybe more than you're used to doing. For a lot of us, it's less, honestly, than what we're accustomed to doing. I want you to read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Now, remember that the New Testament was not divided into chapters and verses. But these two chapters, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth about what we would call a special contribution. This one was not for missions, it was for famine relief. But it was for people in Judea that these people in Corinth had never met, probably never would meet. And Paul talks so much about the heart of what's going on in this section. And I want you to read it, and I hope, let your heart be stirred by what Paul says. He talks about what Jesus did. He was rich, he became poor for us. He encourages them by talking about what other people are doing. Well, I don't want to compare. Well, Paul does. He said, you know, some other people, I bragged on you, don't disappoint me. Here's what the Macedonians are doing. I think a couple of very powerful things you'll see. The last verse of chapter 8, where Paul says, therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you. Paul says, what we give is a proof of our love. That's an exciting, challenging, sobering thought. What we give shows our gratitude and our love for Jesus. And then he goes on and talks about faith. He basically says, you cannot outgive God. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly, you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Read it. And then the conclusion, and we're going to look at this just for a moment before we take communion together. As Paul has spent a lot of paragraphs encouraging and inspiring them, he says, verse 15 of chapter 9, the last verse of chapter 9, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. When I get selfish, and I do frequently, I have to go back to the cross. If we get stingy, if we get whatever area it is that Satan uses to attack us, and money is a big area, Paul says, think about what God has given us. He has given us his Son. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us salvation. He's given us the relationships, the fellowship we have with each other. He's given us the hope of heaven. Paul uses this adjective. I don't think there's a better one to use. Indescribable. Indescribable gift. That's what God has given us. And one of the ways we show him our gratitude is by how we give to meet the needs of others. So please think and pray. As I said, we'll spend 3 weeks talking about the specifics of where things are going and what we're trying to do. But today, as we take communion here in the gym in May of 2018, think about what God has given us. Think about what our forgiveness cost. You know, we are used to thinking about the value of things in terms of how much they cost, don't we? You expect a $50,000 car to be in better shape than a $5,000 car. We still value things by how much they cost. How much did our forgiveness cost? The death of God's Son. And we take the bread, and Paul said to the Corinthians, it reminds us of what Jesus did. His body, Jesus said himself, do this to remember me. Because I can forget. And then we take the cup and we remember. Way back in the Old Testament, it took the shedding of blood to bring forgiveness. But the Hebrew writer says, the blood of bulls and goats can't really do it. It's the blood of God's Son. I'm going to pray and we'll take the bread and get to meditate for a few moments, and we'll pray again, and we'll take the cup, and we'll sing a song, and we'll be dismissed. I told you we're trying to be sensitive to... raise your hand if you didn't get a cup, to the fact that this is a less than ideal situation, but thank you again for bearing with us here. But let's back to what we're doing right now, the cross. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We know that we can't really thank you enough for Jesus, for what he did, for what you allowed to happen on the cross. Father, I know none of us like pain. We want to avoid pain if we can. Thank you that Jesus put himself in so much pain, his body, so that we can be forgiven. Thank you for this bread, that we can remember what he did. Bless us as we take it. Thank you for the opportunity to remember Jesus' body. We pray in his name. Amen. I'll pray again for the cup. Father, thank you that Jesus gave his blood for us. Thank you that we can remember it now. Thank you that we know that we are forgiven as we are baptized into Christ, and that we continue to be forgiven because the sacrifice of Jesus continues to bring us forgiveness. But thank you for his going to the cross and pouring out his blood for us. Thank you again that we can remember it now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As the communion cups are being collected, we'll ask the singers to come on back up, and we're going to close out in song in just a moment. So where have we been today? What does God want? He wants all men to be saved. He wants all nations to know him. We're going to sing a great song about praises heard around the world as people know him. That song says, you know, his precious blood has bought us. That's what we just thought about in communion. His blood has bought us. And if we get to belong to him, we get to help others. We have a very particular opportunity on June 10th to help make a difference in all nations going in. We've got some green envelopes on the table up here. If you want to give early special contribution, you mail this in. There's some instruction. The heart of it is, thank you, God, for what you've done for us. We want to be a part of helping everybody know you, so that truly praises are sung around the world. We're going to stand and close out singing this song.